This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, October 3rd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at the impacts on some black communities when it comes to energy costs. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana this weekend. First, a look at today's news. A student at the University of Illinois' Urbana campus was hospitalized this week with bacterial meningitis. U of I officials hope that the first case of this disease to be uncovered this academic year will be the only one, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Dr. David Lawrence of the U of I McKinley Health Center says the hospitalized student is doing well and is expected to return to class in 2 to 3 weeks. He says the health center has identified about 30 people who had close contact with the student and has treated them all with antibiotics. Bacterial meningitis is the more serious of the two main types of meningitis. It infects the fluid around the spinal cord and brain and is potentially fatal. But Lawrence says most patients recover when the disease is diagnosed in time.
Yes, it can be fatal. Yes, it can be maiming. More often, there are good outcomes, and rarely does it seem to pop up, you know, in more than one person. So the whole campus is not going to be sick with meningitis next week. In fact, probably nobody will be sick with meningitis next week.
The McKinley Health Center offers a meningitis vaccine, which Lauren says all students ought to take. He says other precautions are the ones your mother taught you. Cover your mouth when coughing, wash your hands, and don't share drinks or toothbrushes with others. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Illinois' comptroller reports a bleak picture in the first 3 months of this budget year. Dan Hines says it's been marred by a mountain of unpaid bills and record delays in payments. A report he issued goes on to say the state's economy is still faltering, and the backlog of bills and payment delays will increase. As of Tuesday, it said more than $1.8 billion worth of bills were sitting in the comptroller's office that couldn't be paid because the state was lacking the money. A year ago at this time, Hines' office had nearly $1.4 billion in bills waiting to be paid. It's also taking longer to pay those bills once they reach Hines' office. The payment delay is 42 working days. That does not include the time state agencies hold on to the bills before passing them on to the comptroller's office. The state of Illinois cut funding for community colleges this year, and the two-year schools say they're facing financial pressure. Sean Crawford has that story.
The cost of going to a community college is on the rise, and while still more affordable than a four-year university, some students are feeling the squeeze. Sue Morris is vice chair of the Illinois Community College Board.
We're seeing a downturn in the population of people who might have been coming to the college for a certificate or for a two-year degree because of expense.
Community colleges took a $3 million hit in this year's state budget. Morris says that can only lead to higher tuition costs as the schools look to make up for the funding cut. While the two-year colleges also collect money from property taxes, Morris says there are limits on how much can be raised because of tax caps. She says the schools will work to get state reimbursement for a perk they provide, free tuition for veterans. I'm Sean Crawford.
A new group formed to support a Champaign County sales tax increase says the $17 million it would raise would help school districts immensely. The group called CLASS, or Citizens Looking at Supporting Schools, consists of school administrators, teachers, and business leaders. It's co-chaired by farmer and Parkland College trustee Lynn Warfel, who says educators in need of new buildings and renovations would be able to concentrate on other priorities if voters passed a 1% hike in the county sales tax.
The way we fund that is very erratic, and so when school boards are trying to set budgets, they have a really difficult time with capital needs. This will, for the first time, infuse a stable flow of money, capital dollars, specifically for capital needs.
Supporters also point to promises from districts to reduce property tax levies. Co-chair Susan Abbott says a sales tax hike isn't the perfect solution, but she says people are impatient with efforts to boost direct state funding and reduce the need for property taxes to pay for schools. If voters pass the referendum in November, the Champaign County Board would have to enact the tax hike, and it could choose to reduce the amount. Warfel believes the board would enact the full 1%, but district leaders will have to make that argument. Unlike every other House member, Congressman Jerry Weller will never be blamed for voting the wrong way on the rejected $700 billion bailout bill for dealing with the nation's economic crisis. But he will get a chance. The Illinois Republican was the only one of 434 representatives who did not vote at all on Monday. The 435th member, Ohio Congressman Stephanie Tubbs Jones, died recently, and her seat remains vacant. Weller's excuse for not being present was a family matter, according to a brief statement released by his office that offered no other details. The statement said Weller will be present at the next vote on the rescue plan. Weller has since returned to the Capitol, but both he and his spokesman haven't returned phone calls left in Washington and at his district office seeking further explanation. Republican presidential candidate John McCain is giving up on Michigan and focusing on Indiana as his campaign tries to regroup in the face of dominating economic issues. In addition to conceding the battleground state to Democrat Barack Obama, the McCain campaign has signaled that it would counter Obama's efforts in Indiana. The state hasn't voted for a Democrat since 1964, but surveys show a competitive race after Obama spent months pouring money into the state. The Republican National Committee is running TV ads to fight for its 11 electoral votes in Indiana, and McCain senior advisor Greg Strimple says the McCain campaign will come there. Michigan, with 17 electoral votes, went for Democrat John Kerry in 2004, but Republicans had made an effort to try to replace it in their column this year. Members of about 90 Latino families will be visiting their sons and daughters on the U of I's Urbana campus this Sunday. This is the sixth year for Latino Family Visit Day. It's an event designed for the families of first-year Latino students, their parents, siblings, and other family members. Co-chair Veronica Kahn says the annual program lets Latino families find out more about the university experience in a bilingual setting. She says the feedback from families attending previous Latino Family Visit Days has been very positive.
They like meeting administrators that speak Spanish. It could be something that simple. They like meeting other parents. They really like the fact that the university is outreaching to them in this context. It makes them feel valued. They enjoy learning about the experiences of the alumni and the current students. And, you know, knowing things like that there is assistance for the financial aid out there.
Kahn says the goal of Latino Family Visit Day is to build family support for Latinos on campus and increase their chances of finishing college. She says the Latino retention rate at the Urbana campus is higher than other schools, but still lags behind the overall retention rate. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The cost of heating your home is going up this winter. It went up last year. It will go up next year. For some people, it's an inconvenience. For others, it's a real problem. Jory Lewis reports Black communities are hit especially hard.
Like a lot of Americans, Darlene Manswell has been struggling. Her Brooklyn home is in foreclosure, and she's been behind on her electricity bills, almost $3,000 behind. And so the power company, they came a-knocking.
They basically came to shut it off. And I'm, you know, just bargaining with people, you know. They wanted the full amount. I didn't have the full amount. I mean, I gave them whatever I could afford to give them. And it was like, that's not, we're still going to shut it off.
The price of energy has become a huge burden for many people. But Black communities, like the one Darlene Manswell lives in, are especially vulnerable. Andrew Horner researches energy use in minority communities for the sustainability think tank Redefining Progress and the Environmental Justice and Climate Change Initiative. Horner says Black people pay more of their incomes on home energy and heating expenses than other people. He says there are a couple of reasons why. First, Black people on average have lower incomes.
Energy is like food and shelter. It's a necessity. And people at lower incomes spend a higher percentage of their income on necessities.
But Horner also found that Black people at middle and higher income levels still spend more of their incomes on energy than non-Blacks in all but the highest income brackets.
I think we're safe in saying that it has to do with lower quality housing stock for African American communities.
So it seems to all go back to a history of residential segregation, which has left many Black people in older areas with less well-maintained houses. Those buildings might have loose windows or poor insulation, and that means they are leaking heat and wasting energy. Horner also notes Black people are more likely to be renters instead of owners, and renters have less control over repairs or improvements. All of these factors have forced Black communities to find ways to adjust. Stephanie Bradford certainly wants to. She owns a home in a traditionally Black neighborhood of Brooklyn.
These times are serious. So whichever way you have to save money, you have to save it. This winter was horrible for me. I mean, it was a matter of either heating the house or eating. And it was really a choice.
She made it through okay, but she knows she has to do better this winter. And lucky for her, she found a way. Bradford qualified for low-income weatherization assistance. She's been able to install new windows, add insulation, and put in new energy-efficient compact fluorescent light bulbs. Wendell Rice is the director of the weatherization program. He says making these changes can help people like Stephanie Bradford weather the economic downturn.
She's doing the right thing. She's not dodging the bullet by getting this house weatherized, and that's going to cut the cost. If we do what we're supposed to do in here, her bills got to be cheaper.
Rice says he wishes he could help everyone, but these programs have a waiting list, a year or two long. But Rice notes if he could help more people lower their energy bills, the money left over could help them save their homes from the bank and their stuff from the repo man, and just go a long way in healing this systemic bias. For the Environment Report, this is Jory Lewis.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Park Foundation, the USDA's Cooperative Extension Service, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. Let us know what you think. Drop us a line at feedback@environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region today, mostly sunny during the morning, intervals of clouds and sunshine during the afternoon, the high 69. Partly cloudy tonight, the low 45. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high 72. Partly the mostly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 50. Partly sunny, breezy, and warmer Sunday, the high 78. Sunday night, partly cloudy, the low 55. Partly to mostly sunny Monday, the high 82. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, October 3rd, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.